You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes, see that banner go, brothers and sisters. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this here is my 345th Word for Word. And we're in the book of Jasher. Sefer HaYashar, it's not a man's name, it means Book of the Upright. And it fills in a lot of the gaps that the regular scriptures don't cover. So it's an interesting read. We're going to start in chapter 45 today. Yosef is in Egypt, okay, Mitzrayim. And this is the story of all the brothers and all the wives and stuff that they took, okay? you have to remember that at this time, the seeds of Canaan had not mingled. There were people living in the land of Canaan, and a lot of them were called Canaanites, because they lived in the land of Canaan. It was a political, or whatever you want to call it, a territorial term, rather than a racial term, because the seed of Canaan was cursed seed. Well, the Israelites were not to intermarry with cursed seeds. Well, they knew that. So what was going on was a territorial designator right here. The women that they married were of Adamic seed line. They sort of fudged around a little bit in that time period, but they were not marrying mixed race or not white women. Okay, they were marrying women that were of a different seed line, but not a different race. That's the whole thing. They a different family lineage. They were not into all the idol worship and the mixing that occurred later. Okay. This was pre-Moses. They were just going into Egypt, and Moses wasn't born yet. So there were some crossovers. Yehuda particularly married, and he needed to father some pure children. And he would do that with Tamar, okay? But right now, in this chapter, they're going out and they're taking different women for wives. Because there were no Israelite women. They were the Israelites. They were all of the Israelites. This is the foundation of the tribes right here. So they were not marrying Negresses and Chinese. The Mitzrayim, well, Mitzrayim was the son of Ham, who was Adamic. They didn't mix, and if any Negroes came in to that land in Mitzrayim, they were killed. So all that they we're talking about a whole big group of white people here. So I want to get that out of the way before we get started in this chapter, because there would be questions otherwise. Even the Canaanites at that point were white. So, pardon me. This is chapter 45 of the book of Yasher, of verse 1. And it was at that time in that year, which is the year of Yosef's going down to Mitzrayim after his brothers had sold him, that Reuben, the son of Yaakov, went to Timnah and took unto him for a wife Eliuram, the daughter of Avi the Kenani, the Canaanite, and he came to her. All right. This guy was living in the land of Canaan. I live in the United States of America. I'm called an American. That's not a racial designator. That's a territorial designator. Well, the same is going here. Same way Ruth was called a Moabite because she was living in the occupied territory of Moab, but she was not a racial Moabite. Okay? You have to examine all of this. He went to Timnah and took unto him for a wife Eliuram, the daughter of Avi the Kenani, and he came to her. All right, well, that means he went in and consummated the marriage. That's how they phrased it. Verse 2. And Eliuram, the wife of Reuben, conceived and bare him Hanok, Palu, Chitzron, and Carmi, four sons. Okay. There was a lack of women. Continuing on. And Shimeon, his brother, took his sister Dinah for a wife, and she bare unto him Memuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yachin, and Zokar, five sons. That's Shimeon. Okay? Verse 3. And he afterwards came to Bunah, the Canaanitish woman, the same as Bunah whom Shimeon took captive from the city of Shechem. And Bunah was before Dinah and attended upon her. And Shimeon came to her, and she bare unto him Shaul. So he took his sister and her maid. Because Dinah was a half-sister. But the gene pool was different. Hey, I didn't write this. This is what's in the book. Okay? It's a little iffy, but it's in the book. Now, verse 4, you can reference Genesis chapter 38, verse 2. Okay? And Yehuda, went at that time to Adullam. And he came to a man of Adullam, and his name was Hira. And Yehuda saw there the daughter of a man from Canaan, and her name was Aliath, the daughter of Shua. And that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3. And he took her and came to her, in other words, he consummated marriage, and Aliath bare unto Yahuda Onan and Shiloh, three sons. Verse 5. And Lewi and Issachar went to the land of the east. And they took unto themselves for wives the daughters of Jobab, the son of Yachtan, the son of Eber. Eber, the Hebrews, Ibri, okay? And Jobab, the son of Yachtan, had two daughters. The name of the elder was Adina, and the name of the younger was Arida. Verse 6. And Lewi took Adina, and Issachar took Arida, and they came to the land of Canaan, to their father's house. And Adina bare unto Lewi Gershon, Kehath, and Merari, three sons, the Levites. Okay, they were all pure blood. Yachtan is the son of Eber. You don't get more Hebrew than Eber. He founded the Hebrews, okay? Verse 7. And Arida bare unto Issachar Tola, Pua, Job, and Shamron, four sons. And Dan went to the land of Moab and took for a wife Aphlaleth, the daughter of Chamudan the Moabite, and he brought her to the land of Canaan. All right. He was in the territory of Moab, therefore he was called a Moabite. They were not race mixing here, okay? Verse 8. And Aphlaleth was barren. That's verse 8. She had no offspring. And Elohim afterward remembered Aphlaleth, the wife of Dan, and she conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Cushim. Verse 9, and God, G-A-D, it's an ah sound, not Gad, if you want Gad, and Naphtali went to Haran and took from thence the daughters of Amuram, the son of Uz, the son of Nahor. Nahor was Abraham's brother, okay, for wives. This is all the descendants, they're marrying in their own people. So let's not get all, there's all race mixed. Well, no. Verse 10, and these are the names of the daughters of Amram. The name of the elder was Merimah. And the name of the younger, Uzith. And Naphtali took Merimah, and Gad took Uzith, and brought them to the land of Canaan, to their father's house. Verse 11. And Merimah bare unto Naphtali Yahzeel, Guni, Yazer, and Shalem, four sons. And Uzith bare unto Gad Zephion, Chagi, Shuni, Ezbon, Eri, Arodi, and Arali. Seven sons. Verse 12. And Asher went forth and took Adon, the daughter of Aphlal, the son of Hadad, the son of Ishmael, for a wife, and he brought her to the land of Canaan. Now, Ishmael was Adamic. But Yaakov, but Yaakov chose the other son and sent away Ishmael. Okay. Oh, man. What a mess. Verse 13. And Adon, the wife of Asher, died in those days. She had no offspring. And it was after the death of Adon that Asher went to the other side of the river. That would be the Arden River. And took for a wife Hadurah, the daughter of Abimael, the son of Eber, another Hebrew, the son of Shem, Shemitic. Okay, Shem, father of Eber, the Hebrews. It doesn't get any purer than that. Verse 14, and the young woman was of a comely appearance, and a woman of sense. And she had been the wife of Malchiel, the son of Elam, the son of Shem. She was a widow. Okay. And Hadurah bare a daughter unto Malchiel. She had a kid by Malchiel, and called her name Serach. And Malchiel died after this, and Hadurah went and remained in her father's house. Well, Asher met her and liked her and says, well, hey, you know, you were married before. Let's get married again. It was all right. She was a widow. Legal to marry a widow. Verse 16, and after the death of the wife of Asher, he went and took Hadurah for a wife, and brought her to the land of Canaan, and Serach, her daughter, he also brought with them, and she was 3 years old, and the damsel was brought up in Jacob's house. Verse 17. Now I'm going to read what it says here. There's some strange stuff in here, okay? I'm just going to tell you in advance. Verse 17. And the damsel was of a comely appearance, and she went in the sanctified ways of the children of Jacob. She lacked nothing, and Yahweh gave her wisdom and understanding. Okay, verse 18. And Hadurah, the wife of Asher, conceived and bare unto him Yimnah, Yishva, Yishvi, and Beriah, four sons. Verse 19. And Zebulun went to Midian. Now, they were also white. And took for a wife Marisha, the daughter of Molad, with a D, the son of Abida, the son of Midian, and brought her to the land of Canaan. Now they spell it different here. Verse 20, and Marusha instead of Marisha. Which is it? We don't know. It's only in this book. Bear unto Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Yachleel, three sons. Verse 21. Now here it gets a little strange. Verse 21, and Jacob sent to Aram, the son of Zobah, the son of Terach. That's family. Terach. Okay, father of Abraham. And he took for his son Binyamin, that's Benjamin, Mechaliah, the daughter of Aram. She was an Aramean. All the same people, okay? And she came to the land of Canaan, to the house of Jacob, and Binyamin was 10 years old when he took Mechaliah, the daughter of Aram, for a wife, 10 years old. That's what it says here. I don't want to argue about it. That's what it says in this book. Verse 22. And Mechaliah conceived and bare unto Binyamin Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, five sons. Okay, he had aged a little bit. Okay, and they married as children back in those days, and they finally consummated a little bit later. When they were ready, I mean, if he was 10, he might have been able, but it doesn't tell you the whole story. You just aren't going to get it. Five sons, and Binyamin went afterward and took for a wife Ariboth, the daughter of Shamron, the son of Abraham, more family, in addition to his first wife. And he was 18 years old. This is over a period of years. If he was 10 when he took Mechaliah, he's now 18. So he probably had these kids when he started reaching his teenage years, when he was able. And Ariboth bare unto Binyamin Achi, Vosh, Mupim, Chupim, and Ord. Five sons. Now here we go. Verse 23. Now this concerns his firstborn. And in those days, Yehuda went to the house of Shem, that family, the Shemitic people, and took Tamar, the daughter of Elam, the son of Shem. You can reference Genesis 38, verse 6. For a wife for his firstborn, Now that was by a Canaanite woman. I'll explain that in a little bit. Verse 24, and came to his wife Tamar, and she became his wife. And when he came to her, he outwardly destroyed his seed and his work was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh slew him. That's one down. No kids. Verse 25. And it was after the death of Yahuda's firstborn, that Yahuda said unto Onan, now this was the tradition, go to your brother's wife and marry her as the next of kin, and raise up seed to your brother. Now these were the children of a Canaanitish woman, okay, by Yahuda. Verse 26, and Onan took Tamar for a wife, and he came to her, and Onan also did like the work of his brother. He didn't impregnate her, and his work was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he slew him also. That's two down. Verse 27, you can reference Genesis 38, verse 11. Verse 27, and when Onan died, Yahuda said unto Tamar, remain in your father's house until my son Shiloh shall have grown up. That's the last son of the Canaanitish woman. And Yahuda did no more delight in Tamar to give her unto Shiloh, for he said, peradventure, in other words, perhaps, he will also die like his brother. So she was alone in the house and nobody to give her children. Okay. Verse 28. And Tamar rose up and went and remained in her father's house. And Tamar was in her father's house for some time. Verse 29, and at the revolution of the year, that's springtime, okay, Aliath, the wife of Yahuda, died, and Yahuda was comforted for his wife, and after the death of Aliath, Yahuda went up with his friend Chira to Timnah to shear his sheep. Now, the next of kin, the levirate law, had not been kept. This would become a law later. Verse 30, this is the foundation of that law. And Tamar, verse 30, and Tamar heard that Yahuda had gone up to Timnah to shear the sheep, and that Shiloh was grown up, and Yahuda did not delight in her. So he wasn't going to give her Shiloh, the third son by the Canaanite, because the seed line wasn't proper in Yahweh's eyes. This is way back in the line, the lineage of our Messiah. Way back when, and it had to be a perfect bloodline. So that's what's going on here. Yahweh is preventing any imperfection in this bloodline. Verse 31, and Tamar rose up and put off the garments of her widowhood, and she put a veil upon her, in other words, to conceal herself, and she entirely covered herself, and she went and sat in the public thoroughfare, which is upon the road to Timnah. Verse 32, and Yahuda passed and saw her and took her, and he came to her, and she conceived by him, and at the time of being delivered, behold, there were twins in her room, in her womb, her room, womb. And he called the name of the first Perez, and the name of the second Zerach. All right, she appeared to be a harlot. And there was that whole story of all of that in Genesis. Perez is an ancestor. That line of Yehuda is the ancestral line of Yeshua Messiah. Because the son, Yehuda's son, was not going to keep that tradition of passing on seed line in his brother's name. She got Yehuda to do it. And he said, bring her, she's pregnant. Well, bring her, by whom? She's not married. She's a whore. Bring her here. And she had his staff and his scepter. He said, these belong to the man that impregnated me. And he just, oh no, that's me. And he said, you are more righteous than I. That's in Genesis. Because she kept the tradition to bring seed line up. Well, Yahweh blessed that, and Perez was the ancestor of our Messiah. Bada bing, bada boom. Yahweh works in mysterious ways. Now, that takes care of chapter 45. Let's get into chapter 46 here. And it goes back, we switch over and go back to Yosef. Boom, we're back in Mitzrayim. Verse 1. In those days, Yosef was still confined in the prison house in the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 2. Let me get a drink of this distilled water. At that time, the attendants of Pharaoh were standing before him, the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, which belonged to the king of Egypt. Verse 3, and the butler took wine and placed it before the king to drink, and the baker placed bread before the king to eat, and the king drank of the wine and ate of the bread, he and his servants and ministers that ate at the king's table. Verse 4, and this you can reference Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. And while they were eating and drinking, the butler and the baker remained there, and Pharaoh's ministers found many flies in the wine, which the butler had brought, and stones of nitre were found in the baker's bread. That's their crime. It doesn't tell you that in the book of Genesis. It does here. Verse 5. And the captain of the guard placed Yosef as an attendant on Pharaoh's officers, and Pharaoh's officers were in confinement 1 year. Those two, the butler and the baker. Verse 6, and at the end of the year, they both dreamed dreams in one night in the place of confinement where they were, and in the morning, Yosef came to them to attend upon them as usual, and he saw them, and behold, their countenances were dejected and sad. Verse 7, and Yosef asked them, why are your countenances sad and dejected this day? And they said unto him, we dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. And Yosef said unto them, relate, I pray you, your dream unto me, and Yah shall give you an answer of peace as you desire. verse 8. And the butler related his dream unto Yosef, and he said, I saw in my dream, and behold, a large vine was before me, and upon that vine I saw three branches. And the vines is in italics. Speedily blossomed and reached a great height, and its clusters were ripened and became grapes. Verse 9. And I took the grapes and pressed them in a cup and placed it in Pharaoh's hand, and he drank. And Yosef said unto him, the three branches that were upon the vine are 3 days. Verse 10, yet within 3 days the king will order you to be brought out, and he will restore you to your office, and you shall give the king his wine to drink as at the first when you were his butler. But let me find favor in your sight, that you shall remember me to Pharaoh when it will be well with you, and do kindness unto me, and get me brought forth from this prison. For I was stolen away from the land of Canaan, was sold for a slave in this place. Verse 11. And also that which was told you concerning my master's wife is false. For they placed me in this dungeon for naught. For nothing. Okay, none, he was innocent. She lied. The husband knew she lied, but they were important, and the slave wasn't, so they covered it up. Because it would look bad on him with his wife trying to make a play for a slave. Okay? And the butler answered Yosef, saying, if the king deals well with me as at the first, as you have interpreted to me, I will do all that you desire and get you brought out of this dungeon. Verse 12. And the baker, seeing that Yosef had accurately interpreted the butler's dream, also approached and related the whole of his dream to Yosef. And verse 13. And he said unto him, in my dream I saw, and behold, three white baskets upon my head. And I looked, and behold, there were in the uppermost basket all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. They call bread meats. That's food. And behold, the birds were eating them from off my head. Verse 14. And Yosef said unto him, the three baskets which you did see are 3 days. Yet within 3 days, Pharaoh will take off your head and hang you upon a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from off of you as you saw in your dream. Verse 15. In those days, the queen was about to be delivered. In other words, she was going to give birth. And upon that day she bare a son unto the king of Mitzrayim, and they proclaimed that the king had gotten his firstborn son, and all, and the people of, that's in italics, of Mitzrayim, together with the officers and servants of Pharaoh, rejoiced greatly. Verse 16, and upon the third day of his birth, Pharaoh made a feast for his officers and servants, for the host of the land of Zoar and of the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 17. And all, and it has the people of in italics, Mizraim and the servants of Paro came to eat and drink with the king at the feast of his son and to rejoice at the king's rejoicing. Verse 18. And all the officers of the king and his servants were rejoicing at that time for 8 days at the feast. And they made merry with all sorts of musical instruments, with timbrels, and with dances in the king's house for 8 days. Verse 19. And the butler, to whom Yosef had interpreted his dream, forgot Yosef, and he did not mention him to the king as he had promised. For this thing was from Yahweh in order to punish Yosef because he had trusted in man. In other words, he had trusted in a man when he should have just let Yahweh deliver him. He should have prayed. Here's what happened, verse 20. And Yosef remained after this in the prison house 2 years. Okay, 2 more years, until he had completed 12 years. That's a long time in the joint. Now, he wasn't really suffering in the prison, but he couldn't leave. He was a servant. Wasn't a good experience, okay? Wasn't a good experience. Well, that ends chapter 46. So we've got the 2 chapters in today. And I've got about 10 minutes to expound, or a little bit less. We have seen all these wives. I want to get back to that. That the Israelites had taken. Now, there's a lot of people that are going to say, well, they were Canaanites and the blood of Israel is impure and blah, 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 blah. Well, no, not exactly. If you trace the bloodline of these women, they were of Adamic stock. Maybe not the best of the Adamic stock, because Yahweh was down on Canaan. And that wasn't really a good deal. But that's the Adamic seed line. They did not marry outside the Adamic seed line. Regardless of what anybody said, they were still in the pure seed line. So, this was early on. The gene pool was small in those days. Now, see, this is when Joseph was in Egypt. Way before Moses. Way long before. This was all small. they had just migrated. All these Adamic people had spread out. Well, they didn't have a chance yet to pollute the seed lines. Okay. Seed lines were still quite pure. Even the ones that had spread out that would later on adopt false gods. Now that's the reason that Yahweh was so down on all these Canaanite people later on. They weren't, this is way after Moses, when Moses gave the law, you shall not take of them. Okay, all of that came later. But at this point in time, genetically speaking, they were still Adamic seed line. And it doesn't matter what tribe, if it's Adamic at that point, it's okay to marry one of the women. Things changed later, but right then, they weren't particularly breaking any laws because the laws hadn't been given yet. Yahweh hadn't given Moshe the laws because Moshe wasn't born yet. That was going to be later on. Okay, so they were just doing what men do. And there was a pretty white woman. They were white. They were not mixed race. See, all of this was written later after they knew the law. And they talked about them being Canaanites, etc., etc. Well, when the law was given, you couldn't mess with the Canaanites. That was going to be a lot later. But as it stood right then, it was open season. No problem. There's a woman. Woman. Oh, hey, honey. And they were running around. Just, you know, they had all kinds of wives. And they die and they get another one. You know? No biggie. Wasn't a problem. They had lots of women. Some of them. I look at Solomon. Even at that point in time. He had how many wives? Oh, come on. He had a harem. Well, that was the Eastern custom. You think the Arabs had that custom? Well, Israelites were way before the Arabs. Arab means dusky. Arab. Swarthy. Because they had mixed. They were desert people. They got sunburn. Well, they had mixed with non-Adamics, and that's where your dark, swarthy Arabs come from. They're not pure. But back in those days, when we didn't have gazillions of people like we do now, the gene pool was a lot more concentrated. Okay, let's put it that way, concentrated. And these guys didn't have all the pollution and the poisons in the air, water, and soil. And they were potent. When they took a woman, unless there was something wrong with a woman, she got pregnant. They didn't have birth control. But the two sons of Yehuda that withdrew before they finished, they were killed by Yahweh. They did what they did. Yahweh engineered a lot of this stuff to get to this bloodline that would be the progenitors of the tribes of Israel. And specifically the line of Yehuda through Tamar, that would be the progenitors of Yeshua Messiah. This is all planned out. You can see these workings in these passages. This is all pre-planned. People think, oh, it just sort of happened. No, it didn't just sort of happen. Things don't just sort of happen with Yahweh. All right? Let's just get that out of the way. There's no chance happenings with Yahweh. He is in control. We tend to forget that. He's the divine being. We're not. We don't understand all his workings. Well, they're miraculous. What can I say? We're coming down the end of the hour here. These readings are absolutely marvelous. What can I say? The book of Yasher really takes care of business and informs us of so much stuff that is missed in a lot of other books. Things that are left out. Now, it's a little mystifying sometimes. The timeline jumps around. The writing style is the Hebrew writing style. They have a different style of writing than we do in the English language today, or the German language, or the French language, or whatever. You can't compare the writings of today and the languages of today with the writings back then and the languages back then. Everything was different, and they evolved into what we have today. So it's time for me to go. I will catch you on the 19th on Monday, and we will begin in chapter 47 of the book of Jasher. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and shalom, my friends.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.